Thank you. Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church, and a special welcome to anyone who might be visiting with us today, and we hope you come back. Just to let you know that we wish we had a jazz group every Sunday, but this is a special Sunday, but our service is just wonderful, even on a regular Sunday. Was that funny? I don't know. I think they're telling a joke back there. They're not listening. And this today, just a few announcements that we have. So, Jen, do you want to do the first one?
Good. Good morning. Just kind of a mid-year check-in for Sunday schools. I have a new sign-up sheet across from my office on the youth bulletin board that is a sign-up for teaching pre-K to the fourth grade Sunday school class for the rest of the year. So if you're interested in that at all, come check out the dates and the topics and see me with any questions. And a youth group update. The senior highs will meet next week to write Christmas cards for our shut-ins and play some bunco, so that should be a good time. And junior highs, please sign up for a spot to serve at the Church Mouse Bazaar at the snack booth if you can. There's sign-up sheets in the narthex. Thank you.
Good morning. Irene Ward and Velta Rishon here for the Church Mouse Bazaar, the baked food sale. And first, we'd like to thank all of you who have generously signed up already and said you would donate or work. Thank you. And Velta will be contacting you if you're going to work so that you get a shift. Okay? But we would like more volunteers, especially to bake. So if you could fill the form out that's in the bulletin, or just see one of us after church so that we would know that you can, would be baking for us. And completely unrelated, there is scores of baked foods out there from the generosity team, and please help yourself. Even though it said dessert first, you can have dessert after church too. Dessert always works. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. Just a reminder, if you're interested after church today in the adult lounge, my family will be presenting about our journey to Korea this past summer. Thank you.
Good morning, and welcome to Dessert First, or Celebration Sunday, or Generosity Sunday, or Christy Stewart's birthday celebration, whichever you want to prefer. Okay. Happy birthday, Christy. Anyways, we're here to celebrate all of God's blessings. I'd like to thank all those who donated desserts for our Dessert First, also those who coordinated the event, Irene and Chris, and especially those who donated. On behalf of the generosity team, I'd like to acknowledge the generosity of this congregation, whether it's your time, your talent, or your money. And today, we'd like to continue that. So when the offering plate is passed, please put your giving intentions cards in there so the ushers can pick them up. If you didn't bring your card this morning, if you forgot it, or this is the first time you're hearing about it, there are extras in the back at the sanctuary, and there's still time to grab a dessert. So help yourself, even on the way out. If you want to take something home, you want to take something in the second hour. And in the words of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11, "And you will always be rich enough to be generous. Through our action, such generosity will issue in thanksgiving to God." Thank you.
And speaking of generosity, I want to give a great big thanks to everybody that came out yesterday to help with our fall cleanup. It takes an awful lot to keep this building running and healthy and clean and the yards raked with leaves. So it was a smaller but mighty crew working outside in the cold weather, and we really owe a great debt of gratitude to those who care enough to come out and work on our building. So thank you very much.
And also, just before we begin our service today, I think we should give a round of applause and thanks to Roy Smith and the musicians that he's brought for the music they gave us from beforehand. And today, we are very happy to be able to welcome Dr. Angela Sims. Dr. Sims is the new president of Colgate Rochester Divinity School, and she comes to Rochester from Kansas City. She just moved here late last spring or early summer. I can't know the exact date. And so we're looking forward to her sharing her message with us today. And so now let us take time for and prepare ourselves for worship as the choir sings the introit.
Sent to bring thanksgiving, let us
please stand as able for the call to worship printed in your bulletin? Our God, creator and sustainer of all life, instructs us to give generously and cheerfully. We come giving from the gifts God has given us, cheerfully and without hesitation or pressure, trusting that in our upside-down life of the gospel, our wealth is measured not by what we have, but what we give away. We give joyfully as an act of our faith, trusting that you, great God, to bless our church, your people, and your creation through our giving.
Let us read responsibly our prayer of confession. Forgive us for all the times we have turned away from an opportunity to be generous. For all the times we have believed in hopelessness, in isolation, or in despair more than we have believed in you. For all the times we have chosen timidity over boldness. For all the times we have failed to live into the gifts you have given us. Forgive us, O God. Teach us how to forgive each other and help us to forgive ourselves. God, you hear our spoken and unspoken words. And so, Holy God, your steadfast love never ceases. We thank you that your mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great indeed, O God, is your faithfulness. We are forgiven and free.
I'd like to invite the children forward. Awesome. Thank you. That was fabulous. Good morning. So here's a question. How many of you have toys? Yeah? Anyone out there? Yeah? Okay. Here. Here. Go on, pick a toy, Evelyn. What are you out there? Oh, that's not the toy. Here. Oh, she got a Barbie doll. Cool. So what is the purpose of toys anyway? Yeah? To have fun. Anything else?
Yeah?
So you don't get in your parents' way. Cool answer. I like it. Yeah, Bennett, what's up?
To keep in the box and never touch. Ah, so you're a collector. Okay. Okay, so of course it's to play with them, but also to learn to take care of them. I think one of the most important purposes of having toys is caring for them and putting them away, not playing with them so roughly that they break. When you grow up, it is important that you learn how to take care of things. And if toys aren't taken care of, they break really easily, right? Wow, you are listening very, very intently. Good attention. Oh, I embarrassed you. Okay. How many of you have plants that you take care of? Oh, okay. A good number of them. You know, our public worship team has some nice plants for us over here. Anyone want to help me take care of them? I got a little water. Yeah. Grayson, go ahead. Give them a little water. Just a tiny little drink. Very good. Okay, anyone else want to do one? Elliot, you want to do this side? Just a tiny bit right in the middle. Perfect. Thank you. Okay, you can put the pitcher down. So how important is this to care for plants, to water them, feed them, give them sunlight? If you don't, it is disastrous to plants. And when you grow up, it is important to learn how to care for plants and flowers. Human beings have always loved plants and flowers, and they enrich and beautify our lives. But we must learn how to do this. You don't always naturally know how to take care of plants. Some of us can try very hard, and the plants still don't live, you know. How many of you have pets? Yeah, a lot of you have pets. What kind of pets do you have? It's your cousin's pet. What is it? A German Shepherd. How about you, Elliot? Oh, you had a fish, but he died. Yep, I thought you guys. A snake. Ooh, your mom is brave. How about you, Grayson? A leopard gecko. Nathan, you have a kitty cat. You have a kitty cat. Yeah, so did you guys already know how to take care of your animals? Pretty much. Well, how do you take care of them?
To my snake.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so you feed him. Yep. Okay, do we have to do anything besides feed them? Yeah. So, yeah, so you play with her, but you also keep her safe while you're playing with her, while her cage gets cleaned. So these are all really important things taking care of her. Evelyn, did you have something?
For some animals, you have to take them to the vet to make sure they have all their shots and everything.
Yeah. That's also very important, the medical care thing. So if you don't learn how to take care of your pets, you can't keep them safe. And this is also one of the valuable life lessons, is to learn how to take care of living things. How many of you have mothers, fathers, grandmas, grandpas, brothers, sisters, friends, cousins? Yes, I hope I see everybody's hands raised. That's good. What more important lesson is there than to learn how to take care of the people in our lives with gentleness? And this is all part of what stewardship means. It's taking care of all that God has given to you. And today we are calling this Stewardship Sunday a celebration. And that is part of why you may have gotten some dessert on the way in, why we have some special jazz musicians here to play music for us. We're celebrating all that God has given to fill our lives with love. Will you pray with me? Repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for my many gifts.
Thank you for my many gifts.
Thank you for my toys and plants. Thank you for my pets and my family.
Thank you for my pets and my family.
Help me to care for these gifts.
Help me to care for these gifts.
With kindness and love.
With kindness and love.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much. Okay, you guys can go to your classes or back with your families. I'll return.
right, we're changing up the readings a little bit today, so just to keep things exciting. The first reading is actually going to be 2 Thessalonians. So we'll start there, verses 2, 1 through 5. As to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we beg you, brothers and sisters, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as though from us to the effect that the day of the Lord is already here. Let no one deceive you in any way, for the day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the lawless one is revealed, the one destined for destruction. He opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, declaring himself to be God. Do you not remember that I told you these things when I was still with you? But we must always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and through the belief in the truth. For this purpose, he called you through our proclamation of good news, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by word of mouth or by our letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and through grace gave us eternal comfort and good hope, comfort your hearts and strengthen them in every good work and word.
Thank you.
these words in Psalm 98. O sing to the Lord a new song, for the Lord has done marvelous things. The Lord's right hand and the Lord's holy army have gotten the Lord victory. The Lord has made known the Lord's victory. The Lord has revealed his vindications in the sight of the nations. The Lord has remembered the Lord's steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyra and the sound of melody. With trumpets and the sounds of the horn, make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who live in it. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills sing together for joy at the presence of the Lord. For the Lord is coming to judge the earth. The Lord will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. I'd like to thank Colgate Rochester Divinity student and your worship coordinator for an invitation to join with you in worship on this morning. And I greet each of you in the name of Jesus the Christ. What John doesn't know is that I have been shaped and formed by the teachings of the Presbyterian USA Church. I attended seminary, did my PhD studies at one of your institutions, Union Presbyterian Seminary in Richmond, Virginia. And so it is good to be here with all of you this morning. I'd also like to say that it's always good to worship with persons where children are invited to be an integral part of the ministry. And I actually felt like just sitting on the floor when the children were gathered this morning, because they're responsive, really get to the heart of what the psalmist is saying to us in the 98th Psalm, this notion of what it means to know that God has invited us to join into God's presence with thanksgiving and with song, but to also be mindful of the ways in which God intends for all of us to care for all of God's created order. And so hearing their responses about how they are caring for their pets is a reminder to all of us to think about the way in which we need to be attentive to what God invites us to do during our journey on this earth. Psalm 98 is also a guide for worship, and it invites us to ask ourselves individually and collectively to consider what and why we sing. So reflect for me for just a few minutes on the topic grateful. As a new resident of this metropolitan area, introduction to the region's agricultural industry raises questions for me about human and border invisibility and visibility, concerns about quality housing and access to health care, and the manner in which communication informs concepts of neighbor. And let me do a little disclosure. While I relocated here after 12 years in Kansas City, I went to high school and still consider the San Francisco Bay Area home. And so I was quite surprised with the number of vineyards and wineries that are in this area. I was also surprised at the number of apple orchards and dairy farms that are in this area. And your foliage, your flowers, the vibrancy of them, I've not seen anything like it except maybe in Paris, France. And so there's something here about the richness of the earth that really captures and holds my attention. And so during my commute to and from campus, after I relocated here the 1st of July and through the early fall, I wondered how lessons gleaned from my experiences of roadside and farm honor systems might offer insights on stewardship and generosity. I'd never before moving to this area been able to just pull up along the side of the road, take a bag, get what I want, and put my money in a box with no one asking questions, or to go to a berry farm, walk the rows, pick what I want, and then again, with no one watching, put my money in a box. I don't know if that's unique to this area, but it's the only time I've experienced it. Ah, okay. And so I wonder if these business practices are hallmarks of hospitality that reflect the values that are important to a community and its people. But I hold that intention and ask the question, why did it take more than 20 years for New York State to pass legislation that ensures equitable housing and working conditions by granting collective bargaining rights, overtime pay, disability and paid family leave coverage, and unemployment benefits to farm workers? How does my experience of local farmers' hospitality, when held in tension with deep commitments for the dignity and integrity of all people, inform an individual and collective understanding of generosity? As I watched a documentary that highlighted persistent and consistent efforts that culminated in the July 2019 signing of the Farm Workers Bill, which will take effect on January 1, I was reminded that gratitude is not necessarily indicative of current realities. Rather, gratitude, a deep appreciation for the one who is the source of our strength, gratitude is worship. And as I meditated on Psalm 98, I recall the lyrics of Grateful that were penned by songwriter and preacher Reverend Hezekiah Walker. He suggests that we should be grateful for the things that God has done and grateful for the victories that have been won, that we could go on and on and on about God's works because we're grateful, so grateful, just to praise God, and that flowing from our hearts are the issues of our heart, which in essence is gratefulness. And just as farm workers and those who stand with them express gratefulness for achieving a milestone in the crusade for social justice, all of creation receives an imperative invitation in Psalm 98 to praise God. In reverence to the one who is the architect of creation, the psalmist reminds us of God's acts on our behalf. We find in this psalm a level of familiarity in the psalmist's directives to sing to the Lord and make a joyful noise. Regardless of how much time has lapsed since our confession of faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the true and living God, we gather on this day to praise God. We praise God in our prayers and our songs. We praise God because it is our heartfelt expectation that God will receive our worship as a sweet fragrance offered in adoration and service. Dr. Christine Hong, who is an assistant professor of educational ministry at Columbia Theological Seminary in Decatur, Georgia, says that this psalm reflects a feeling of being so consumed with the totality of God's arrival and the overturning of the world's injustice that one cannot help but proclaim it with goodness. God's very presence in the world, this intentional and incarnational appearance of divine justice, elicits a joyful response not only from God's people, but from all creation as well. To make a joyful noise to the Lord is to declare God's goodness to all without regard for race, gender, identity, orientation, class, age, ability, or a plethora of other classifications that foster divisiveness. We gather in worship and say to God, how awesome are God's deeds. We invite all to come and see what God has done and what God is doing. We make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation, in whose hands are the depths of the earth and the heights of the mountains. We evaluate the import of our thoughts, our words, our intentions, our actions. And we sing to the Lord a new song that reflects a renewed commitment to be faithful stewards of all that God has entrusted to our care. We do so with grateful hearts as we proclaim the mighty acts of God, who called us out of darkness into God's marvelous light. How we worship the Lord should be consistent with our encounters with others and all of creation beyond the confines of this sanctuary. We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, and God invites us to come just as we are, with our laments, with our grief, with our sorrow, with our pain, with our burdens, with our joy, with our hope, with our expectations, and to sing aloud songs of thanksgiving that tell of all God's wondrous deeds. We confess that to know that the Lord is God suggests some awareness of what the Lord requires of us. As beloved children of God, we are encouraged to take seriously the prophetic mandate to do justice and to love mercy, as well as a gospel imperative to care one for another. The psalmist invites us to question a tendency to promote a form of individualism that is antithetical or contrary to notions of community that is an essential aspect of what it means to be Christian. As people of faith, gratefulness emerges from and is grounded in an understanding of relationship that is characterized by genuine concern, compassion, and care for all, but most especially for persons in our families, our communities, our world, who are often rendered voiceless and invisible. We are called to love, to accept others unconditionally, because God meets us every second at our point of need. Because we are God's people, we are compelled to love the Lord our God with every fiber of our being and to love our neighbor as ourselves. All too often, though, our capacity to love ourselves in a manner that reflects God's abiding presence in our life is sometimes flawed deeply by life-negating experiences that result in patterns of behavior that impede our ability to be present fully for self and others. Yet we are reminded that because of God's unending grace and mercy, we receive an open invitation to sing to the Lord a new song, for God has done marvelous things. This call to praise the Lord resonates with hope. This invitation to be in communion with God is a powerful reminder that unless we perceive God as limited to human-constructed sanctuaries, we are constantly in God's presence, and our every thought, word, and deed conveys to others what we cherish. Daily, we seek tangible ways to share the 9 attributes that comprise the fruit of the Spirit. This Generosity Sunday, we affirm each other's humanness. We thank God for communities of care that nurture us and provide moments of respite when we are depleted. We confess that there are times when our words and actions, our praise and social justice commitments, the care of our soul and concern for others are inconsistent with our profession of faith. With eyes of faith, we are invited daily to be active participants in God's always unfolding kingdom here on earth. As we continue to name and work to dismantle social, political, economic, religious systems designed specifically to entice people into chasing some elusive concept of equality, may we remember always to check our motives. Gratefulness demands that we evaluate our attitude and our priorities. On this Generosity Sunday, it's time to make some decisions about the spaces and places we occupy. It's time to make some changes so that our encounters with others aligns with what we profess about our relationship with God. This Generosity Sunday, God beckons us to come out of the shadows and into the fullness of God's presence. God prepares a table for us and invites us to feast upon that which nourishes our soul. God wipes our tears and joins with us in celebration. This Generosity Sunday, let us break forth into joyous song and sing praises, for the Lord's steadfast love endures forever and the Lord's faithfulness to all generations. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. gracious God, we are mindful not to take shelter and warmth for granted, and to be generous in our care and concern for persons who lack quality housing. O Lord, by faith we believe that you yet abide with us. You never leave us or forsake us. You are God who keeps your promises. You are faithful, and your love and care for us never fails. Forgive us, Lord, for being so busy that we miss the many ways you reveal yourself to us. And forgive us for being so consumed and mindful of our own lives that we miss the many needs of those around us. We turn our hearts and minds to those many needs, to the things in your world that are not as they ought to be. We pray for residents and first responders in California and Australia as fires ravage the land. We pray for the people of Kurdistan who have no official homeland or country. We pray for the families and many children at our southern border who face an unknown future and are desperate for safety. Lord, have mercy. We also pray for our world leaders who are making decisions on behalf of so many of these vulnerable people. Please give them wisdom and discernment and deep compassion. As we are taught in your word, we pray now for our enemies. We pray for those who persecute your church. We pray for those who want to cause us harm and for those who have offended us in some way. Gracious God, thank you for loving us, even as we have caused harm and have offended others. Grant us by the power of your Spirit to do good to those who despise us. We thank you for the greater Rochester metropolitan area and for its commitment to philanthropy. We pray for our ecclesial, elected, and local leaders, that you would use them to protect the vulnerable and ensure opportunities for all people in this region to flourish. We thank you for the various and creative ways you have called each one of us to participate with you in establishing your kingdom here in the greater Rochester area. Through our different vocations, you have called us to be agents of justice. Help us to see ourselves as your hands and feet in this world. May we create sacred gathering spaces. May we create safe harbors. May we reflect your mercy. May we work so that all may live with dignity. May we cultivate your peace in this region as it is in heaven. Thank you, God of the universe, that you come close and you hear the prayers of your people. And we ask, God, that you would also hear us as we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Amen.
Good morning again. Just a quick reminder, please put your giving intention card in the offering bowl as it is passed. Thank you. Please join me in the prayer of dedication that found in your bulletin. Gracious and generous God, we give thanks for all the gifts we have received. We now, in this place, return a portion of these gifts. Bless those who benefit from them, just as we are blessed in the act of sharing them. May we be empowered to continue to let the light of GPC shine within this building, in our local community, and in our global community.
Benediction. May we work, live, sing, and pray so that God can use us anywhere and anytime. Go in peace.